And welcome to Chiefs Live for this week. Mitch Holt is with you along with the snapper, Snapalicious, snaps or snaps a lot, Pro Bowl long snapper Kendall Gammon. And this week as I go bobbleheads, I need them all. Okay, it is time to get this thing turned around. Yes, the Emmy. As the Chiefs try to get it going against a team that I think right now is the best in the AFC. I'm just putting it out there. Apologies to Houston, they're right behind. But the Baltimore Ravens are an outstanding football team. But let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in trying to get the train on the track. It is a very disappointing game against the San Diego Chargers, losing 37-20. And we're going to start with the turnovers. It's what jumps off the iPad, and we've got to deal with it, Kendall.
Right.
But to be minus 13 in the giveaway takeaway after 4 weeks, when the 31st-ranked team, it's Carolina and Tennessee, are minus 6, is something we got to deal with, and it gets your attention because they've got to go away.
Well, Mitch, they do, and you're exactly right, because when you look at all the turnovers that they've had, I mean, plus 58 points they've given away, or minus 58, I guess you would say, whereas with the two turnovers, they've scored 10 points. That's a minus 48 differential. That's something that just you can't be successful as a team if you've got that going on, and everybody knows that. I mean, because turnovers are what drive games, in my opinion, and the Chiefs have some through no fault of their own, some poor decision-making. You know, it goes all around. Things happen. It's a collectively team effort, but it's got to change for them to turn things around.
Yeah, there's no magic bullet here, pill to take, but the 58 giveaway points.
Right, that's...
The league average is 19 after 4 weeks. So to beat the Baltimore Ravens and get things back on track, I think that's where you start first and foremost with this team on both sides of the ball. For Romeo Crennel, it has been soul-searching and trying to find answers.
I really can't tell you why we played the way we played. I was not expecting us to play that away. The game unfolded, and, we turned the ball over. And against any football team, if you turn the ball over, it's hard to win. And we tried to rally a little bit in the third quarter, but... it wasn't enough rally. Some of the things are uncharacteristic. You know, Jamal usually doesn't fumble. He hangs on to it pretty good. But he ended up having a couple. We threw some interceptions that hurt. We will continue to pull together, continue to work to try to get it better. I don't know that I haven't seen a half like that where you have six turnovers in one half. Usually if you have six turnovers in a game, that's too many. But to have them in almost a half with four in the first 16 plays, that's tough. There's a lot of disappointment out there, and I'm disappointed as well. So we're going to try to work to get it better, and I still think that we have talent on the team, but the talent has to play better. And that's what I told them today, that we have to play better so that we can be more competitive, so that we can be in the games and have a chance to win.
Four times the opponents of the Chiefs have had the ball inside of the 20 in the first 4 weeks. Four times now. That leads to your 58 giveaway points. The league average is one. So you're saying, okay, where do you start? What do you do? But when I've watched the tape, as you have, you're seeing some protection issues.
Right.
Matt has not thrown the ball well at times. When he has, there have been balls that have been dropped.
Right.
I mean, it's everything. Jamal's trying to make a play, and then he fumbles. The ball comes out. I mean, it's everything you can imagine is happening to lead to these turnovers. But you got to stop them. They got to go away.
Well, you're right, and it is. And I think that's what happens when you have things like that going on. You start trying to press too much, and those things happen. You know, as I had a chance to talk with Romeo at halftime coming out of the game, he talked about the fact that you couldn't have those turnovers, and that's what you heard in that press conference. And he made mention the fact that, listen, we get a touchdown coming out in the second half, we can be in this game. That's what I talked to the team about. And really, that's what they did. And I bring that up because you see Matt Castle, you talked about some throws that may be errant, but you also see some throws also where he does some good things and he threads the needle. But again, when you're battling the constant turnover and you're giving up touchdowns like you see right here, it puts pressure on everybody to do too much, I think, and sometimes you overstep your bounds in terms of how you're going to perform.
There's the pick six by Butler. That was the crusher, because at 20-6, the Chiefs still had a shot. to get back into the game. And even at 27-6, when they scored the start the second half, there were three more series where the Chiefs had a chance to get it to one possession,
right,
a three and out, and another turnover. So the point is, where do you get to fix it? And we're going to talk a little bit about this later in the show, but it's almost like you think about it mentally, physically, and scheme-wise.
Right.
You start to scheme for first downs, maybe max protect some more, and you tell everybody that they can find that you hang on to the ball and make decisions to not turn it over first and then go from there.
Well, I would agree with that. And when you look at some of the weapons that the Chiefs have offensively, certainly it starts with Jamaal Charles, but you've got Baldwin, you've got Bo. Bo had a fabulous day, did some good things. And I think to your point, if you keep max protection in sometimes, even if it's too much, I think you have the ability to maybe send one less out on the routes and still do some good things because of the talent you've got there. And if you're doing that, you give yourself a chance. The Chiefs, like you said, got within 14 points. You had multiple three and outs go to where they had a chance they could have gotten within seven, and that was being down negative five on turnovers. That doesn't happen. No. That tells you that they've got things going on, that they do have some weapons, and they've got some fight in them, because nobody, for the most part, is ever going to come back from a negative five turnover ratio.
Route running is part of this as well. Now, during training camp and during the offseason, we saw Brian Daboll go to trying to a lot of freedom at the line of scrimmage, checking off plays, choice routes and option routes, which is all part of the National Football League. But when you get to the point where the Chiefs are now, you almost get down to the very basics, saying maybe you reduce a lot of that, you take away a lot of the margin for error, and at least till you get back going again to take care of the ball, you try to simplify things as much as you can, even on both sides of the ball.
Well, I would agree. And from the offensive side of it, I think something that's maybe lost a little bit is the fact that you had, in his 100th career start, Ryan Lilje moves from left guard over to center. And you talk about Jeff Allen making his first start in the NFL at left guard. Well, if you're trying to audibleize and change things at the line of scrimmage, that can be an issue. And I think sometimes you get up there. I've been there. Things happen so quickly. And sometimes if you have even an ounce of indecision in you, maybe you're not going to be able to perform, make the block, do the things. Now, I don't know if that happened or not. I'm just going from my experiences and the times I played and people I've been around. So that's certainly something you've got to think about.
The locker room, though, has stayed unified. It is frustrated. They're going to have to get back on track against a very, very good Baltimore Raven football team. But as we go to the locker room and get the reaction of the players, they're also trying to figure this out.
We can't look at it like that. How do we get over something like this? Or can't look at the record. You know, it's a 16-game season. We got to keep going. We got to keep playing and forget about the past. Even if we would have won this game 42-0, we had to forget about it, put it behind us, and keep playing. Same thing for the situation we're in now. You know, we got to put it behind us, forget about it, and, you know, worry about the next team.
We work pretty hard during the week. We focus during the weekend. We just got translated to the game. And, we just got to fix our problems and move on and move on to the Ravens.
We got another tough defense coming our way, so we're going to come in tomorrow, go over this, make the corrections, and we got to move on because, if we don't move on, if we're not ready, we're going to have a lot on our hands next week. So
everybody's at fault. Everybody had a role in what was going on, even me, everybody. So we just got to fix it and move on.
Yeah, it's part of football. I'm not accepting it. I'm not excusing it. By any means, but anytime you let go of the football, if I let go of the football, it's gonna be real bad. Anytime you have that, it's kind of hard to win. So that's what I try to focus on. Holding the ball back there. But this was a team loss, man. It's a team loss. We got to pull it together, and come back and play real well next week.
It's not one thing that you can put your finger on and say, this guy, all right, caused all the problems, all right? One play is this guy, one play is that guy, the next play is another guy. And so, as you look at the game, I think that you can see that several people had issues as the game went along, all right? And that's why it makes it really tough, when things are not going well and it's kind of spread all over, what do you do then?
One thing we also want to deal with here is getting off to a fast start defensively. Three times in the four games this year, the opponents have had a touchdown,
right,
on their opening drive. That's 21 first possession points. The league average is 8. Even happened in the preseason. St. Louis did it, and so did Seattle. All right, you've got a very good Baltimore team coming in offensively. We'll mention that in a second. But part of this, playing complementary football, is to protect the football with your life this week against Baltimore and maybe scheme to that, but then defensively trying to get off a fast start in this game.
Well, you're right. When you're at home and the offense of the opposition comes out and they march right down the field, that takes the crowd out of it a little bit. I don't know that it creates indecision in the team because, you know, you're just starting. But all the same, it gets you started on a foot that you just don't want. Again, I harken back to when I was playing here, and you got the crowd going. And that helps the defense so much because you get 3 to 4 penalties just from the crowd noise and not being able to get off the ball. Certainly something that we'll talk about here later in terms of how you deal with Flacco and what's going on there. So it is so important. Much has been said, or at least a little bit's been said, of the fact that the Chiefs, while 1-3, haven't led at any point in time this year. You'd like to have a chance to maybe get out in front, put a little pressure on the other team, see how they handle it when they're against the ropes a little bit, and see how your defense performs.
But when it's 3 out of 4 and the other team scores first, it's tough. All right, now let's look at some positives here. Javier Arenas had a really good day in man-to-man coverage, and he was on Eddie Royal a lot on the underneath routes. And then this is Brandon Flowers. This might have turned the game around, could have turned the game around, because that was right after a Chiefs turnover, and Kansas City got it right back and could have been a New Orleans-type turnaround play here. As it stood, that didn't happen, but a very positive play then. And then Derek Johnson continues to play at a high level. But to me, the biggest positive of this game was Ropati Piojatua and what he was able to do at his right defensive end position, because the Chiefs got a sack in this game when they only rushed 3 and dropped 8.
Right.
And Piojatua did like this play right here. You're rushing 3, good coverage. He just beats his guys on the other side.
Well, and at 6'8", 315, this is a hulk of a man. He does some good things. You see right there. Now, to me, that's coaching, and then they confused the defense, and he came free right there. But just puts a big hit on Rivers, and if anybody's going to remember those hits, it's Rivers in terms of how he performs sometimes. But I like his temperament and how he deals with everything. He's very quiet, but he's so athletic for as big as he is. And, of course, you see 91 getting into the action right there, and Rivers almost having to go down before he takes the safety. But that's what has to happen. And certainly with Dorsey being out and not knowing what his status is, it's the NFL, Mitch. Somebody has to step up at all times. That's how it is. You have injuries. You can't worry about it. You just deal with it. Ropati really stepped up big Sunday.
The other positive in the first 4 weeks has been the fact that the Chiefs, for the most part, now San Diego ran the ball at the end of the game, has defended against the base run. But here comes Ray Rice in an outstanding offensive line. You got to stop the run first. But if you can, all of a sudden now you've got Tamba, Justin Houston, Derek Johnson can come on dogs from time to time. But if Ropati Piojatua is able to get a push from the defensive line with those outside guys,
right,
you got something serious going on.
Well, you're right, Mitch, and you talk about it. When you talk about the push, when you get rid of the integrity of the pocket and you don't give the quarterback time to step up in the pocket, now if he cannot step up, then those outside rushers can come around and they've got an easier chance to get to him. And the Chiefs have two of the best pass rushers, I believe, in the NFL. We know what Tamba Hali can be, and we're starting to see glimpses of what Justin Houston can be, and I think there's only more to come. But it's very unheralded in the 3-4 in terms of how those defensive linemen deal with things, certainly in the base 3-4, but especially in the pass rush, because they push that pocket back. They don't always get sacks, but they make a difference in terms of putting pressure on. This week it would be Flacco.
Well, let's transition to the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, to me, have done an outstanding job of elevating their offense. We know what their defense has been. Statistically, we'll get into the defense, but what Baltimore has done offensively has put you in a position where you have to defend all three levels. They can attack you with a lot of skill at all three levels, with Ray Rice running the ball. Pitta at tight end has been Todd Heap-like. And then Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin give them a deep threat. Torrey Smith is an emerging player in this league.
Torrey Smith really is. And you talk about what he's done this year through the circumstances that he's dealt with. So that's certainly huge. But you talked about Dennis Pitta. This is a guy that I think's been a key for them. And this is what I think you're seeing in the NFL right now. Is we've always known the tight end's important, but the tight end's getting more and more important, in my opinion, in terms of running those crossing routes, maybe stretching the defense down the middle a little bit more as well. When you get guys like that, he's had some big games this year. But again, you go to Baldwin and you talk about Smith. They're the two guys on the outside that really get it done. And, of course, Flacco's done a good job delivering the ball. And then when you have Ray Rice, like you said, this is a guy, you have to hit him low because he's not tall. There is no high. You've got to hit him low. He's a little bit of a bowling ball. He just seems to bounce off of people. And the one thing that I don't think people realize sometimes about these small backs is in front of or in behind huge hulking offensive lines, literally defensive linemen and linebackers have a hard time seeing this guy until he's right at the hole. So you really have to have gap control. You have to do your job.
Here's the stat that gets your attention with the Baltimore Ravens offensively. They're number one in the league with 24 completions of 20 yards or more. Number one in the league in 26 plays with 20 yards or more. That's different from the old Ravens team that grind it out and then take their chances down the field. All of a sudden now, they're getting some big plays. But if you don't stop Ray Rice, you don't have a chance, and the numbers here prove it. They're averaging 30 points a game. They're much better offensively. Flacco seems to be playing with confidence. But I want to ask you about their offensive line. If you read the book The Blind Side, you know about Michael Orr. But they started him at right tackle in his career. Now he's playing left tackle where everybody thought he would be. But this is a good offensive line with a blend of new and old, but they're very physical.
Well, you're right. You know, Michael Orr has taken over for Bryant McKinney at that left tackle spot. Another one that comes to mind is Marshall Yanda, Pro Bowl right guard, and, of course, Matt Burke that we joked about, you know, as smart as he is, he's going to read poetry to you while he blocks you. I mean, he does a good job of orchestrating the line there. When you've got that going on, that's huge. Now, you talked about how Baltimore has changed, and I see a metamorphosis with them in terms of it used to be the defense that carried things and the offense just don't mess it up. Now, I mean, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more here in a while, but you've got a 17-year pro middle backer in
Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, exactly. He knocked the thought out of my head just from Baltimore. But you know what? He's not what he used to be. But he's got two hulking guys in front of him that are helping him do what he does. But now I think it's more, now you're looking at the offense on that team. You're like, okay, you guys can go out and win it for us because they've got some weapons. Defense is still good, but again, 29th against the pass. So they've got some issues, which we'll go into here in a little bit. So to me, it's completely come full circle.
It starts with Haloti Ngata in the middle of that defense.
Wow.
He might be the most impactful defensive lineman in the National Football League. He is an animal inside. Forget about a two-gap scheme. It's like he can play a four-gap scheme. But so disruptive in there with the guys that are around him. The linebackers, of course, get a lot of pub. They still don't have Terrell Suggs. But they got some underrated linebackers in there as well. And then they've got big play defenders in the back end, most notably Ed Reed, who's the most opportunistic defensive back to maybe play in this league. Bernard Pollard, the former Chief, playing strong safety. But Ed Reed will make defense into offense in a hurry. He might be the best player in league history to do that. It's like a wide receiver that has the physicality of a safety that can make huge plays back there.
Well, he is, but again, I think they're starting to decline a little bit. And what I see, and this is what you want from defensive backs, is when the production's not there, they're not getting as many interceptions, as many turnovers as they're used to getting, then you start to press a little bit. And I think that you have a chance that they might press a little bit and try to go after it. You know, having been a teammate of Bernard Pollard's, he's back there. He's been with them the last 3 years. He's a good player, but he wants to hit people. That's what he wants to do. And he'll get nose problems. So you get a play action, you do some things. If you can establish a little bit of a running game, he wants to come up and hit people. And when he does, you have a chance to make some plays in the passing game.
We haven't dropped a Josh Looney reference on this since he left the show, but we've got to do it here because the best player from Washburn since Josh Looney is Kerry Williams. He's actually a starting cornerback for them. He had a pick six last week, but he did play at Washburn. Division II football right here in the Chiefs Kingdom. The defensive secondary is good. They get help by that front seven. And we'll talk about a little bit in a moment after Fandemonium. But the one thing Baltimore's not been able to do defensively is get off the field. And that gives the Chiefs a chance to move the ball against these guys.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk about it later on. But you've got to move the ball against these guys. You've got to put drives together. You've got to keep – we talked about the metamorphosis of Baltimore and their offense and what they can do. Best defense is to keep it off the field. So you've got to put drives together. And, again, just like you talked about Baltimore being able to attack all areas of the field, that's what the Chiefs have to do. And it goes back to still, you've got to hang on to the ball. But once you hang on to the ball, you've got to make them think. You've got to try to keep the defense of Baltimore on their heels so they're not sure exactly where the ball is going every time. And like you said, if that comes down to maybe simplifying a few things, then that's what you do. But I believe at home, Baltimore coming in here, the Chiefs, if you hold on to the ball and you keep them guessing a little bit, you've got a good chance to come away with a win.
Leaky pipes, got to fix the sheetrock. Here again are the numbers. The Chiefs defensively allowing 34 points a game. That's 31st in the league. Actually moved up some. While Baltimore is only allowing 21. That's 10th in the league. But the yards jump off the page here at 23rd. Now, some of that's because they've been ahead. But still, some uncharacteristic numbers. Now, can the Chiefs win this game? Yes, they can. Said Leaky Pipes, fix the sheetrock. How can the Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens? I know you want to know. We're following you online. Yep, you're frustrated. So are we. Got to fix it. I haven't gone Chucky face yet, but thinking about it. We come back after Fandemonium. We'll show you how.
I just feel like they're diehard fans. I mean, coming from college, you know, you see some schools where the fans are tailgating and doing this and that. But when I got here at Arrowhead Stadium, they're out there lined up all the way to the entrance. You know, the whole parking lot out there is filled with people tailgating and cheering and, you know, chanting when you see the players pull up. And that goes over into the game as well. You come out there and you jog around for the warm-up and you see the fans showing up, you know, 30 minutes before the game even started in their seats, cheering and yelling and waving towels. And it makes you want to play even better. You know, you realize it's for your team and for the coaches, but at the same time, you're playing for your fans as well because, you know, they show up to see you win. They support you because of that. So to have a fan base like we have here with the Arrowhead Stadium, it's awesome. It definitely gives us an advantage.
Jaleel Brown had a good game against San Diego, and maybe that downing the ball at the three against New Orleans gave him some confidence because I saw some good things on tape from him. And part of growing up. All right, now, how do the Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens, which is a team that I think can be in the Super Bowl this year? I could see them in the AFC Championship game for sure. I think they're well coached. I think they have fewer weaknesses than they've had in the past. I think they're much better offensively to challenge to win a world title, something they did back in 2000 with an all-world defense. Now, how do you beat the Ravens? I say go back to, this is me now,
right?
Going back to mid-December. We're going to jump back to mid-December because I think you can beat the Ravens by replicating what you did against the Green Bay Packers. In that game, Kendall, the Chiefs suffered no sacks.
Right.
In that game, the Chiefs turned it over, nada. In that game, the Chiefs had the ball for 36 minutes and 11 seconds, basically playing for as much as first downs as you are touchdowns. And before you crash your iPad, just follow me here. This is going back to basics, simplifying it, and give your team a chance, a blueprint to win. Once you get the confidence, then you can get back to where you want to be. But right now, how much can you replicate what you did against Green Bay?
Well, you're right. And when you look back at that game, that is the thing they did. Because that was a game that nobody gave the Chiefs a chance to be in. But they
made throws. They're not giving the Chiefs a chance this week.
And you're exactly right. But they made the throws they had to make. They didn't get crazy. They held on to the ball, like you talked about, and they kept the ball almost 10 minutes longer than Green Bay did last year. And when you kept that prolific offense on the sideline and not able to come out and do some things, then that made all the difference in the world. They got sacks. I think you alluded to it. When you sack a team four times and you keep your guy upright and he doesn't get touched and you make throws like you did right there to the tight end, things like that start to unnerve a team who expects to win and expects to do some things on defense. And I think that's, again, what you can do to Baltimore. If you play smart football and defensively, they're on the field a lot. That defense, it's not what it used to be, and you start to get them guessing a little bit. But again, you've got to have the plays like that from 91. Tom Bahaly making it rough on the QB so he doesn't feel comfortable back there, that he doesn't feel like it's just a 7-on-7 drill on Wednesdays and he can just deliver the ball. You've got to be physical. You see Bailey doing some good things as well. And then special teams-wise, you see here making the kick. You've got to continue to be good on special teams. You go back a couple of weeks ago, suck up, make 6 field goals. And then, of course, the last couple of weeks, Dustin Colquitt and how he's affecting field position is phenomenal.
Yeah, those two guys have been weapons. But in my opinion, it should put the calculus book away and bring out the college algebra book and
right.
Have that blueprint to try to win the game on both sides of the ball. But Baltimore now is explosive offensively. This is not your great uncle's Baltimore Ravens where they just play awesome defense. And you have a chance to stay on the field. Here are some stats with the Ravens. They have allowed 99 first downs in their 3-1 start. They've allowed 10 play drives. You're saying, well, maybe that's a stat that they're ahead. Now, they've allowed more 10 play drives, I think, than any team in the league, or at least 2 or 3. So there are times now the Ravens have had a hard time getting off the field. So if you can play football, getting first downs to first downs.
Exactly.
First downs are touchdowns in this game. And you try to win it that way, you got a shot.
You're right, and it speaks to your point of holding on to the ball. If they can't get off the field, then you've got to hold the ball, and you stay on the field. You don't have to score touchdowns and points every single drive, but you do have to affect field position. You've got to stay on for a little while. You've got to limit the three and outs. You've got to get field position. So when their offense does get on the field, and you hope that's as little as possible, that they've got a long way to go, that they've got a long area to look down before they could get to that end zone. But that speaks to your point. To do that, though, you can't give the ball up in your own territory by letting the ball go from interceptions or fumbles.
And the Chiefs have more explosive players now on the field than they did in that Green Bay game. We saw Baldwin with the catch on the highlights. He's got a chance of maybe breaking through here. Bo has a chance perhaps. But running the ball, too, with Charles trying to get big plays. All right, if you look again at the numbers of the Green Bay game last year, they jump off the page from the standpoint. Look at this. All right, the Chiefs still had 438 total yards in that game, averaged 6.3 a play. Zero turnovers and over 36 time of possession. They get four sacks. They allow zero. Now, keep in mind, coming into that game, Green Bay was thought to go perfect for the season and maybe challenge New England's records of the 2007 season. The Chiefs changed all that and kind of threw the Packers off their game. But you can do that this week against this Baltimore Raven team and win the game and put the train back on the track.
Again, and that what jumped out from that stat we just saw was the almost 12 minutes more time possession, like you've been preaching.
All right, here we go. Can the Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens? It'll take a big effort. He's the snapper, Kendall Gammon, 15 years in this league, and touch every bobblehead you can find. Here we go. Chiefs need to get it done this week. Thanks for watching Chiefs Live as Kansas City tries to get their second win of the year.